This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. What does it mean for us to love one another? Is it that we act nice, care for people who are close to us, people who we like, or people who maybe we give some money to from time to time when we see they actually have a need, like tossing that cash in the Salvation Army kettle at Christmas time, or maybe that check we pen off to Easter seals? Is it that we give things to the poor, the forlorn, the hungry, whether we know them or not? What does it mean for us to love one another? Is it these things that I've mentioned, or is it something completely different that Jesus has in mind? When Jesus gives this command to love one another, Jesus has just washed his disciples' feet, and Judas has gone off to betray him. Jesus knows that his time with his friends is growing short. Jesus sees the cross coming towards him, looming larger and larger and larger with each passing moment. When Jesus tells his disciples to love one another as he has loved them, he calls them to a love that mirrors his own love, a selfless and sacrificial love that flows from God's unconditional love for absolutely every person. This way of loving would be set apart from what the world has seen before, and in fact, it's actually going to set the followers of Jesus apart because it is so vastly different from the way most people think of love. Most people share and show love. The love with which Jesus says we are to love washes the feet of our betrayer, forgives those who nail us to the cross, reaches across our cultural lines, erases the lines we draw that divide. It extends into the marginalized, and it brings an end to absolutely every political rivalry. It's this kind of love that causes first century people to follow the teachings of Jesus in the first place, because they see Jesus' followers caring for outcasts and sharing possessions. It's this kind of love that causes people in the Middle Ages to follow the teachings of Jesus as they see Jesus' followers tending victims of the bubonic plague, placing their own lives at risk to do so. It's this kind of love that causes people in World War II to follow the teachings of Jesus as they see Jesus' followers risking their lives to hide and save Jews all over Europe. It's this kind of love that causes people in 1981 to follow the teachings of Jesus as they see Jesus' follower, Pope John Paul II, forgiving the man who's tried to assassinate him. It's this kind of love that causes people in 2006 to follow the teachings of Jesus as they see Amish Jesus followers forgiving the man who manages to shoot 12 of their young girls as they attend school in Bart Township, Pennsylvania. What empowers us to live this kind of love? What empowers the apostles to live this kind of love? It's the gift of the Holy Spirit that we each have received in baptism. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit who empowers us to love in this way. Now, I know this may sound like so much churchy theology contained within so many churchy words, because we don't often experience in such overt ways the move of the Holy Spirit to do or to act in a certain way. But consider the life into which we've been invited by Jesus and baptized into Jesus to live. We live eternal life right here, right now, because the very life of God, God's own Spirit, dwells in you and dwells in me. Now, this doesn't make us better than others, doesn't make us able to work magic, doesn't make us able to defy the laws of nature. What it does, though, is it empowers us and orients us to live life with a certain view. How do we serve others rather than seek to serve ourselves? How do we try to imitate the love of Jesus? How do we offer loving forgiveness as those who are our very selves being forgiven by Jesus? It's a tall order. It truly is. Let's consider our enemies or those we believe to be our enemies. When we hear of them, don't we get really hopping mad, completely riled up because of whatever we've just heard about them on the nightly news or on the telephone or in the parking lot? Wherever we are on the political spectrum, are we able to let go of whatever kind of animosity that we might be feeling in this moment? Whether that's congregational politics or state politics, national politics, international politics, whatever animosity it is that we might hold, that we might feel, are we right now able to let it go? Don't we know that we struggle with this? Because can't people be so very blind? Can't people be so completely prejudiced or short-sighted and not even see it? Can't people be so very invested in their own view that they can't possibly believe that there's another way to see this thing that they see so clearly? Still, whatever animosity we hold to love as the Jesus followers we are, we must let go of it and forgive it rather than to drag it perpetually around with us like so many martyrs who've declared ourselves destined to cart around Mount Kilimanjaro. To shoulder this kind of load identifies us one way or another, because the love that Jesus gives empowers us to let go of resentments, to let go of anger, to let go of disagreements, to let go of the vast number of things that we carry around and use to damage relationships, to let go of the things that hurt ourselves, the things that mar our witness, the things that are now becoming obstacles in the way of our pointing others to Jesus. If there is anything worse than a people who profess forgiveness yet do not practice forgiveness, isn't it a people who profess love yet who do not practice love? Christians are those who profess both and who are called to live both. There's nothing worse for people to see than Christians professing Jesus Christ yet living nothing like Him. Our speech gives us away. Our actions do too. The words we use, the actions we carry out, the venom we spew all over the internet, it's all out there for people to see. Some of us treat it as our God-given mission to demean and belittle those with whom we disagree, even if we do not know them, even if we have never even sat down at the table to eat a meal and talk with them. Is this what the love of Jesus should look like on the internet? Let's hope not. I certainly hope not. I hope you certainly hope not. We who profess Jesus Christ are not called to fall into such patterns. And when we do, we are called to repent and turn from them about face. We are to be the love of Christ in a world thirsting to receive it. Sure, it is easy to let our emotions get the best of us. Sure, sometimes we do feel like lashing out. Sure, sometimes we want to be heard and we want others to agree with our view. Yet, does any of this show the love of God for others? Does any of it show that we take seriously the call of Jesus to love one another just as Jesus has loved us? To love in this way is not easy. It is, as I said earlier, a tall order. Yet it is faithful, and it is right. It's this kind of love that disciples see when their risen Lord comes to them after the resurrection, never blaming, never shaming, never judging, never accusing a single one of them of taking a part in his murder, nor of abandoning him to face it alone. It's this kind of love that has carried the resurrection story forward for 2,000 years. 2,000 years ago, it caused people to come to faith and to invite others to embrace a forgiveness and a love that does not let go. It's this kind of love lived by Jesus followers that will heal the wounds of war in Ukraine, that will foster peace amidst our own political turmoil, that will cause us to stick around when all others have given up, all others have given in to despair, and all others have opted out of the game. It's this love that is above all else a hallmark of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. A Jesus follower. It's this love that prompts the dying Son of God to say of a murderous people, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." That very love of the dying Son of God became ours when we died with that Son of God in the waters of baptism. Through the Holy Spirit, it's that love that's been given to you and to me. It's what we've been given, and it's what we are both called and empowered to give. No other love is like it, and for this hurting world, no other love will do. Amen.